Vamos a buscar en nuestra Biblia el Cantar de Cantares, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, 12-16. Cantar de Cantares, capítulo 4, del verso 12 al 16. Huerto cerrado eres, hermana mía, esposa mía, fuente cerrada, fuente sellada, tus renuevos son paraíso de granados, con frutos suaves, de flores de aleña y nardos, nardo y azafrán, caña aromática y canela, con todos los árboles de incienso, mirra y aloes, con todas las principales especias aromáticas, fuente de huertos, pozo de aguas vivas que corren del Líbano. Levántate, Aquilón, y ven, Austro, soplad en mi huerto, despréndanse sus aromas. Venga mi amado a su huerto y coma de su dulce fruta. As you know, I am working in a garden. And that garden teach me too many things of the spiritual life. Como ustedes saben, como ustedes saben, yo trabajo en un jardín. Y ese jardín me ha enseñado muchas cosas de la vida espiritual. Algunas veces, hasta pienso que Dios tuvo una razón para poner al hombre en un paraíso y no en el mall. Sometimes I'm thinking in that piece of land that why God put to the man in a garden and not in a mall. God have a church. Dios tiene una iglesia. And he said the church is his people. Y Dios dice que la iglesia es su pueblo. God says the church is his body. Dios dice que la iglesia es su cuerpo. Bible says the church is the God's family. La Biblia dice que la iglesia es la familia de Dios. Pero en este pasaje de Cantares capítulo 4, but in this portion of the scripture, Bible says church is a garden. Pero en este pasaje de Cantares capítulo 4, la Biblia dice que la iglesia es un jardín. Y ese jardín dice que es un jardín cerrado, que hasta tiene un letrero muy grande que dice no traspasar. Apparently, that garden have a big sign of no trespassing. The owner of the church put that sign, but I think he put that sign facing to inside. Parece que ese letrero lo puso el dueño de la iglesia, pero ese letrero al parecer está hacia adentro. This is the first fact. Este es el primer hecho. Lo que la iglesia es. That the church is. The church is a garden. If you are, if I am a part of this church, God have a big garden with you and with me. Si usted y yo somos parte de esa iglesia, Dios entonces tiene un jardín muy grande con usted y conmigo. Bible says in this portion of the scripture that church, that garden have a well of living waters. Esta escritura dice que ese jardín tiene un pozo de aguas vivas. Ese jardín tiene un río. That garden has a river. What is that? ¿Qué es eso? The church is alive, is living, because the Holy Spirit is inside. La iglesia está viva. La iglesia es un ser vivo porque tiene al Espíritu Santo. También dice esta escritura y se mencionan 9 frutos. Esto me recuerda algo que el apóstol Pablo dice en la carta a los Gálatas. This scripture says about 9 fruit, 9 kind of fruit that garden has, in the same order that Apostle Paul says in the big chapter of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You know that. Amor, gozo, paz, paciencia, benignidad, bondad, fe, mansedumbre, templanza, love, joy, peace, etc. You know that list. We need time to try to savoring that fruit. Are you agree with me? Tenemos o necesitamos tiempo para saborear ese fruto que el Espíritu Santo produce en nosotros. ¿Está de acuerdo conmigo? Al final, la esposa habla y dice que sople el viento. Que sople el viento sobre mi vida, sobre mí, y que se desprendan los aromas. The church have that fruit inside. But we need the wind blow of open us, open the garden, and that scent, that perfume need go through the world. Apostle Paul said we are the el olor. El apóstol Pablo dice que nosotros somos el olor del conocimiento de Dios. Apostle Paul said that we are the perfume, the we smell to the world the knowledge of God. This is the word I ask. Hoping in God to bring that or this word to our hearts and our minds. God bless you. Que Dios les bendiga.
Thank you. So this is a tag team sermon, and I'm up. This is my response to what Jonathan had to say. And my part won't be interpreted, but he can explain it to his congregation later, I think, if there were some that don't understand me. But I do just want to acknowledge how brave Jonathan is for preaching on the Song of Solomon, because I have never preached on the Song of Solomon before, and I really admire his courage and his ability to do that. I know some pastors use it for wedding sermons, but the book is just one of those that is so intimate that it makes many people blush. But it's not just an example of deep love between two people. This book, this Song of Solomon, is a metaphor for how deep and passionately God loves each one of us, individually as God's children, but then also corporately as Christ's church, the community of believers, the body of Christ. Ephesians 5 talks about the church being the bride of Christ, and so that's why I think, too, that they incorporated it in the Bible when they made this choice to put it in, is because it does kind of talk about the feelings that a bride and a groom would have for each other, to try to show you how deep God's feelings are for you and for the church. When Jonathan was talking about the blowing of the Holy Spirit across the garden, though, I do think that we today are an example of what the Holy Spirit wants and the Holy Spirit does. That today you all are fruits of the Spirit, welcoming a congregation in from the other congregation that we have worshiping usually at 2 p.m., wanting to mix together and be in unity with one another in a loving, caring, supportive way. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit that God would want to see in us and see us do. And also, when he talked about the way that you can see the demonstration of the depth of God's love in the garden, how precious the garden is, how we are to cherish the garden and take care of the garden and understand that this is, I think, such a privilege to live in the garden, to live in a church community. But we also then, in this specific passage, it talks about the living water as a wonderful metaphor for that abundant love that God has for each of us, quenching our thirst and providing us with peace that surpasses all understanding. And once our thirst is quenched, we are to share then Christ's living water with others who thirst for a sense of God's love and peace in their lives. And so we are not just to hold the garden for ourselves, but we are to go out and share the garden with others and to invite others in to have this wonderful fruit, this special love that we have been so graced with. And you will historically probably remember that the author of the Song of Solomon was King Solomon. He was the second-born child of Bathsheba and King David, who inherited the throne of Israel. And so Solomon is an example of God's forgiveness and love and amazing grace, because King David, you remember, had taken Bathsheba from her husband Uriah and had him killed in battle. And their first baby died, but their second son Solomon lived. And his name means shalom, peace and wholeness, basically, is what shalom means. And so even his name is an example of King David finally feeling at peace with God after all of his transgressions. So most commentators consider the Song of Solomon to have been written early in the king's life. Solomon's early godly years, though, were followed by a decline or an extended time in his life when he was not walking with God. Solomon's journey of faith and doubt is clearly described in 1 Kings 1-11, if you want to go home and look it up. But I especially just love the way the Bible scriptures record the times of doubt and weakness and the mistakes people make, like King Solomon and King David. It shows how frail humanity is still so loved by God, that we are loved despite our frailty and the mistakes we made and all of our faults. And so these honest stories make the Bible seem all the more real to us. And so as we think about this scripture today and all about how the church is a fragrant scent, is what Jonathan was saying. We are a scent that goes out then from this church today into the world. That scent, that love, that joy, the fruit that is making that scent in you then is picked up by others out in the world. And so you have a big part in spreading the fruit of the Spirit to others. And so may we take that really seriously and not just take it for granted, but realize the special job description, I guess, that each one of us has, that we are to be that scent, we are to be that fragrance out into the world, so others will want to come to the garden and want to be a part of the Holy Spirit's work here in the world. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
seated. And now as we come to this time of prayer of the people, I want to mention a couple prayer requests that we have. One is a thank you to God for the wonderful, diverse congregation that we have here today. So I have to acknowledge that. That's a wonderful thing. And we're to pray for Southern California that is having even more of a severe drought than we are in Northern California. I want to mention that Ted Crouch is in the hospital in San Francisco. He's at California Pacific Medical Center on Buchanan Street. And I do have his address on my phone if you want to send him cards. But he's awaiting to see if he can have surgery for a tumor in his pancreas. So he has pancreatic cancer. So please keep Ted and Alice and the whole family in your prayers. And we should know by today or so if he'll be able to have the surgery this week. I also want to ask for prayers for my son, Ian. He was deployed today. They packed up his helicopter and put it on a big cargo plane and sent it off so that he could do drug interdiction on a Dutch frigate, is what it is. It's a huge, big boat that they put his helicopter on, and they do drug interdiction. And we have a partnership with the Dutch to do this together. So please keep him in your prayers. I was especially, you know, worried when I heard they put guns on his helicopter. So just keep all of those involved. There's a crew of 18 with him that'll be working with him. And does your congregation have prayers that, any prayer requests that we could mention?
De oración. ¿Alguien tiene alguna petición de oración?
Okay, we'll just pray for your whole congregation.
Please.
A new sociological study was reported in the Huffington Post that found that interfaith prayer practices played a key role in bridging cultural differences within diverse faith-based communities here in the United States. It says prayer played a crucial role in binding participants together across significant racial and socioeconomic differences. They also found that the attitude of those who prayed was important. The most unifying groups celebrated the diversity of the group and encouraged individuals to interact with each other. And so we really didn't need a research study probably to know in our hearts that prayer binds people together. But it's nice to see that it's scientifically demonstrated now. And so with all these prayer requests and thoughts in mind, let us pray. O Creator God, we thank you for this worship service today and for our Hispanos Cristianos congregation joining here with us. Bless each one of them and take special care of Pastor Jonathan and his wife Angeles and their family and all of their families in this church as they continue to grow their church and seek your will for their lives. God of creativity and diversity, let us see the world through the lens of your love. May there be no divisions because of ethnicity or cultural background, but only unity and peace with our brothers and sisters as we are to become one global family in Christ Jesus with the help of your Holy Spirit. You are our mighty God, and you have promised strength for the weak, rest for the weary, light for our path, and grace for our sins. May we leave here today with a sense of your unfailing mercy and undying love. May our souls be so filled with your love that we abundantly share it with our neighbors near and far. O Creator and mighty God, help us continue to have faith in you and faith in one another as we pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.
Que el amor de Dios, la gracia de nuestro Señor Jesucristo y la comunión del Espíritu Santo esté con nosotros.